Vinny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, it is. It actually is. My name is Vinny White. I'm on your radio or your radio enabling device for the next hour or so. I like to think that I'm sort of being pushed through an old wireless and that you're somewhere. I think of the Canadian wilderness sometimes. And I think you're somewhere in a dilapidated old cottage, mildly drunk on some Molson beer, even though I think it's brewed in America. Or I've done an American company own it now. I think that's the problem. And Canadian, actually American. Never mind that. Don't get bogged down with semantics. You're in a lovely wilderness. You're in a sort of old decrepit cottage with loved ones around you. And I'm pumping out through a wireless in the corner. And you look at it as a family member with a slightly odd accent. That is what this show is. Or sort of a bit like that. It's nothing really like that, to be honest. But, you know, that's where I'm shooting. My name is Vinny. What else do you need to know? You can do the Facebook thing, should you jump to that sort of advanced nature. Vinny White on Facebook. You can do the Twitter thing if you want. It's all right. For some reason, people are following me. Every week I get more. It's really weird. I feel like some sort of Jesus of Nazareth with not quite the powers or the following. 416-872-1010 on the phone, *8255 on the cell phone. You can text the show on 71010. That's enough, isn't it? Come on. Let's get on with it, for goodness sake. Let's get down to the sexy details. How are you? I hope you're well. Tonight, coming up, we're going to be doing... it's quite Jeremy Clarkson, actually, that, wasn't it? Didn't know I could do that. Tonight, on Top Gear, we send Stig down a hole, Hammond eats a cake, and Captain Slow is slower than usual. Tonight! It's good, isn't it? Didn't know I could do it. Just popped out. On tonight's show, more surprising impressions. Impressions I didn't know I could do, popping out. Actually, we're going to talk about love. Maybe you're in it, maybe you've fallen out of it. Either way, we celebrate it and destroy it with sarcasm, as we do most things. And I want to talk about this councillor in Oshawa as well. Did you hear about that? It's really weird. Oshawa, by the way, is a little... Do we call it a town? It's a city, really, isn't it? If you're not local, Oshawa is... some, not me, call it the armpit of Toronto. Not fair. It's a beautiful utopia full of stark, shiny buildings and a better way of living, managed perfectly. Sometimes I just walk about there just to sort of get out of Toronto and see true beauty. I'm pushing it. It's not that lovely, but it'll do. There's a councillor there, and I'll tell you about him in a minute. Have you ever been stumped on what to say? Happened to me this week. I was at a show. I've got this company, MrPhotoCanvas.com. Do you need a canvas? Then why not use MrPhotoCanvas.com tonight? So there's that. Subtle. And when I'm doing my canvas printing, I have the fortune to be based within an art gallery / studio. It's really nice. And there's lots of sort of like hippie, groovy people around. Keeps your feet on the ground. You know, it's not like the corporate world. Sometimes you forget you're at work. It's beautiful. And I like it there. And we have a show every now and then of all the artists. And I attempt to make some sort of digital art on canvas and hang that stuff up. And this week was really good because we had an event called Paint the Wall, where we painted a wall white, and then random people paid money towards a charity and then came in and painted a big motif on a wall over booze. And it was nice until the police came. And I learned that night that if the police get called at any party, they have to go, even though there's no point in being there. We had a licence. We had all the... It was like 9:30 when they arrived. It was barely dark. And they rocked up. They were quite nice. You could see they didn't want to be there. It must be a nightmare if you're a policeman and you drive past criminals to get to a party where people are having a good time to then sort of just embarrassingly shuffle about outside until someone notices you. Then like I went out and said, all right. I was a bit drunk, so I actually said, all right. I love you. I love you. Your sexy uniform. Come here. And then he punched me. So I went up to them and I said, is everything all right? And they said, yeah, it's all right. You know, we just had noise complaints. And they, do you know, they have to go to every noise complaint. And then they're like, you know, where's your license for your booze? Because God above knows you can't throw a party here without a license. Fun. You got to pay for that, baby. You know, you've even got to get a license to teach. A friend of mine's a personal trainer. She told me this week, if you are a personal trainer and you have more than, I think it was eight, don't quote me on that, I think it was eight people in a park, you have to pay for a license. Like, if you've just, if you've got, say they've got nine friends and they're paying you a couple of bucks for you to teach them how to do push-ups and stuff, because that's definitely what happens in the world of personal training, as you can tell from my thorough experience. If you go down the park and a policeman comes up and says, where's your permit? And you haven't got one, you're actually liable. I think it's an insurance directive, but then what's insurance got to do with it? Because I don't really understand how it really corresponds. If you work in the legal department, then you deserve enormous sympathy, because it must be terribly dull. But you're welcome to phone me and explain it. Anyway, the point is that we sorted it out with the police. They went off in the end. Party carried on. We moved to a club in the end. Good night. But a lot of people there that night I hadn't seen for a long time. And there was one particular woman. You know when you're in just walking through life and you see someone that you don't really like and you think, oh, is it wrong to just walk over here? Is it? Because it feels, oh, too late. They've got me. Hate that. That's why the phone was invented, wasn't it? I have known to do that. You pull out your cell phone. Well, that's right, Bob. Absolutely. Oh, hi. Oh, God, I can't talk. Yeah, that's right, Bob. And then it rings. So I was trying to avoid her and she came up to me. And one of the reasons I wanted to avoid her is because she has absolutely no sense of humour and I can't really be bothered with people like that. She's just hard work. And she comes up and I was doing like a stupid, fairly poor attempt at a little comedy routine with a couple of mates. I was just sort of having a laugh, just having a bit of banter. And she comes up and she says, oh, hi, Vinny, I haven't seen you for ages. She's got a really annoying voice. It's more like this. It's a bit Marge Simpson-esque, actually, in retrospect. I'm so ferocious. I know, it's a bit... If Barney meets Marge, if Barney and Marge were to copulate, this woman would be born. Maybe that's what happened. She comes up, she goes, I'm so ferocious. And she's heard me doing this sort of, like, attempt at comedy. And she said, you're really funny. And then she said this, and I'm going to do it at the same speed and time as she said it. You're so funny, Vinny. Don't change. I like that you're funny. Did you hear what happened to Robin Williams? Isn't it sad? Don't kill yourself. Now, I don't know what goes on in some people's brains, but that to me is surely that's just a stream of consciousness. At what point is it all right to just say whatever's in your head? Listeners to this show may argue, but you see my point. You can't just... She said that. She goes, you're so funny... Isn't it a shame what happened to Robin Williams? Don't ever kill yourself. Weirdly, hadn't contemplated it until that actual moment. I explained that to her. Didn't go well. Didn't understand it. So my question to you tonight is, have you been speechless recently? And what do you do if you have? I had nothing. To this day, I still don't know what I should have said. Usually when I come back to those situations, I think, oh, if only I'd have said this. I still don't know what you say to that. And by the way, since we're on the subject... Isn't it sad what happened to Ron Williams? No, it's bloody tragic. It's outrageously sad. But there's, I mean, so's cancer and so are loads of other things. Not relevant to now. You might as well have come up and said, oh, you're really funny. I had a bacon sandwich this morning. A pig had to die. You know, what? I don't know what it means. So that was that. Should we do a break first or should we do the Oshawa fella? Yep, Elliot's saying break first. If you want to get involved in the show, you can. It's all a bit untogether, really, much like the end of many weekends. We just sort of cruise back, see what happens. But if you want to get involved, you're welcome to on 7-10-10. I will later on be talking about proposals. If you had a very interesting proposal when you were, presumably, you said yes. I don't know. Maybe you didn't, and that's why it was quite interesting. I would like to know, what did your partner do to propose to you? Romantic or not, I'm always interested. 416-872-1010. We'll get to why we're talking about that later as well on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
First text in, It's from Ted in Oshawa. Vinny, we all know that Hamilton is the armpit of Ontario. Not my words, the words of Ted in Oshawa. Speaking of Oshawa, Robert Ludzik, former Oshawa councillor, plans to run for council again despite a minor setback. Wonder what that setback could be. Probably not a big setback. Probably just going to be a minor inconvenience. Let's find out. Former Oshawa City Councillor Robert Ludzik is planning to return to the ballot in this fall's municipal Oshawa election. Apparently, Ludzik has a few more obstacles than most people running for Oshawa City Council, which is weird because he's been a councillor before, so surely he has more chance than most. Let's find out. The former councillor from 2006 to 2010 has been incarcerated since October 2012. He's also been denied bail on three separate occasions since then. He must have done something a bit naughty. I imagine he probably just, stolen O. Henry bar or something. Mind you, if he's not been granted bail, he must have stolen a O. Henry truck. Let's find out what he's done. I'm sure it's fine. Ludzik is facing accusations that he kidnapped a city solicitor, David Potts. Right. That's quite bad, I think. Last time I checked. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. Kidnap always sounds a bit dodgy. Well, I'm sure it's fine, though. It's probably just a misunderstanding. Ludzik is facing accusations he kidnapped city councillor David Potts at gunpoint. After a council meeting in the fall of 2012. The alleged kidnapping prompted a standoff of more than 24 hours with police at an industrial building where they allege Ludzik had explosives. Potts escaped unharmed. Ludzik surrendered. Ludzik must have seen the film Falling Down that day. Do you remember that movie with Michael Douglas? It's epic. As long as Ludzik is eligible to vote, he can be a candidate in the election, said a city council worker. But as of Friday, the city of Oshawa hadn't received enough documentation to accept the nomination paper. So the only thing that's in his way is just a clerical bit of documentation. They still need a photo identification to confirm Ludzik is properly qualified to vote and a signed letter from the candidate appointing an individual to act as an agent on his behalf. He will have to have an agent because he's in the slammer. If Ludzik provides sufficient paperwork, even while in prison, the city will accept the nomination paper and either certify or reject that paper on nomination day, which is September the 12th, not far away. If Ludzik's paperwork is complete, it will likely be certified. Ludzik, 45 years old, faces a series of charges from dangerous driving to pointing a gun and kidnapping. Rock and roll. Ludzik is also charged with uttering threats, or maybe charged, should I say, with uttering threats, forcible confinement, failing to stop for police and using a firearm while committing an offence. I tell you what, Silvio Berlusconi is looking at this going, hey, he has the big balls. That is brilliant. A municipal lawyer in Oshawa said right now he's not serving a sentence of imprisonment. So therefore, it looks like he does meet the eligible or the qualifications to be an elector, said the municipal lawyer. Technically, he's allowed to run. He's allowed to be elected and he might even be entitled to hold office, which is really bizarre, he said. I don't think that was the intent of the legislation when it was created. Probably not. If Ludzik is voted in, his seat can be declared vacant if he doesn't swear an oath of office by a specific date or if he's absent from meetings. He might be absent from meetings. He's in the slammer. If he's absent from meetings of council for three successive months without being authorised by the resolution of council. And then a council aren't going to give him resolution dear council, I can't be there for 3 months and I know I need to be. Is it all right? Why not? Because you're in the slammer. Right. Yeah, but it's probably all right, isn't it? Well, you did hold a gun at someone. Ludzik's trial is scheduled for January. At the time that this went to print, council can either appoint someone or he could run a by-election. So he could, in theory, actually be a proper councillor again. If they run a by-election, his trial hasn't come up and he hasn't been sentenced, then he's eligible to be elected back in on a by-election. So there you go. It's all right, isn't it? So I'd like to see the advertisement for his criminal lawyer. I think it would go something like this. Hi, I'm Dodgy McShady, criminal lawyer. Is there a possibility that you could be convicted for dangerous driving, pointing a gun and kidnapping, uttering threats, forcible confinement, failing to stop for police, and using a firearm while committing an offence? Or all of them? Dodgy McShady, criminal defence lawyers. I'll do my best to get you off all the charges, because mostly the legal system works by you denying everything you've ever done and then outlandishly filing to become a city councillor. Why face up to waving a gun around when you can soon be waving a pen around in Oshawa City Hall? Dodgy McShady, criminal defence lawyers, only work with people who are proper bonkers, like Vladimir Putin, Bashir al-Assad, most Middle Eastern despots, Silvio Berlusconi, and of course, Britain's war criminal, Tony Blair. Tony Blair, for example, after using us, not only faced jail for, got off facing jail for war crimes, but went on to be an ambassador for the Middle East. Coming soon, the Ford brothers to Dodgy McShady, criminal defence lawyers. This advert was satire only, and it's not necessarily understood by all my listeners. Anyone not understanding this is satire, shouldn't be listening to the show. Always consult your doctor before listening to Vinnie White and any of the gibberish that he comes out with. Dodgy McShady, coming your way soon. See, it's a multi-pronged attack, these satirical adverts, because on one hand, they're mildly amusing. And on the other hand, I might get some voiceover work. Always thinking. Now, I did find an actual ad. Have you got that yet? I was sort of doing some research. It made me think about dodgy criminal defence lawyers. And, you know, like Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad. Yeah, people like that actually exist in North America. I mean, they probably exist in the UK, but I'm fortunate enough to have never taken a great deal of interest in criminal law there for any reason. I was looking at a guy who did an advert to sort of give me inspiration for that beautiful thing that you just heard. That abomination that you just heard. And I found a defence lawyer in Pittsburgh, and this is his shtick.
Consequences. They sure suck, don't they? America was built on freedom. Not on a bunch of people with more money than you telling you what you can and can't do with all their stupid laws. Laws are arbitrary. Hi, my name is Daniel Musick, and I'm a criminal defense attorney based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I stand ready, willing, able, and committed to defend you on all manner of criminal charges, including murder, arson, burglary, bank robbery, simple and aggravated assault, and possibly even funny throwback crimes such as moonshining or pickpocketing. When you're charged with a serious criminal offense, you're facing the fight of your life. You need a lawyer who understands you and understands where you're coming from. Trust me, I may have a law degree, but I think like a criminal. Street knowledge. A lot of criminal defense attorneys around town are gonna take your money and then blow you off. That's not me. I pick up the phone, I answer calls, I return letters, and I make jail visits. Because I'll probably be there visiting my friends anyways. I'm the Pittsburgh criminal defense attorney Pittsburgh criminals hire when they commit crimes. I'm also licensed to practice in every single county in the Commonwealth. So don't feel left out, people in Beaver, Mercer, Crawford, Venango, or even Lehigh County. I'll go anywhere. Any criminal defense attorney who promises you a result is most likely a liar or a scumbag. But what I can promise you is my committed fighting effort to ensure that you are adequately defended on any charge that you're facing. Pay me now, thank me later, and remember, you keep your trap shut, and I'll keep your trap open.
That'll do. Let's leave it there. I like that. So it's an actual advert from a defence attorney. Actual. I mean, I think it is tongue-in-cheek, don't get me wrong, but
is it?
So let's have a little look at the texty poos that have come in. Robbie L was a whack job. Don't paint us all with the same brush here in Oshawa. Another one says, Robbie L is, as you say, proper bonkers. I like it when people take on my lingo. It's nice. It's flattering. Another one says, hi, I'm Robbie L. Vote for me. Maybe it is. I wouldn't put it past him. He's got the audacity. Jump on it. When we come back, we talk about proposals. Have you had a good one? Was your partner good? Or really boring and unoriginal, and then after a while you realised that actually he was a bit of an idiot and got rid of him? Let me know on 416 872 1010 or text 71010. Proposals. Creative? We come up with a pretty good one that some guy did here. And also we're going to do, apparently, I don't know who writes these lists. Busybodies. But they're going to tell us the most creative ways to propose. So if you're thinking about proposing, then listen up. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Call in with your marriage proposals. Whoa, just realised what that sounded like. All right, I'm not that desperate. Call in and let me know how it was that your partner proposed better. 416 872 1010, or you can text 71010. Were they original? Were they sexy? Was it a surprise? Did you cry? Did you cry, you big baby? Huh? Did you? You're weak! You're pathetic! You're softy! God, I'm welling up just thinking about it. I love marriage. Oh, the union of two people, sanctimonious and so special. Which is why this article just makes me fall apart. proposal news. For months, Frankie Anello was puzzling and puzzled into looking at a unique way to propose to his girlfriend. Then it hit him. She liked doing crosswords. Hmm? She did crosswords in the paper. Maybe one in her hometown paper could be the way to get the proposal out there. Finally, it clicked, he said. I've never heard of anyone doing this before. I was looking through the paper when I saw a jumbo crossword. It gave me an idea. On page C7 of the Niagara Falls Review, there was a bonus crossword. So he put it in there, you see. It was an advertorial. With the circled letters into what formed a surprise phrase. So it was good. So last week, he and his girlfriend went out for a romantic day on Toronto Island, and they went to their favourite spot, probably to copulate, because they're young. Hmm? That's what people do over there. There's people with boobs out, and there's people knocking about in the bushes. It's foul. It's disgusting. Should be illegal. All of it. Unless I'm having it. Fact. I'm happy to put that in legislation. It's definitely not selfish, self-absorbed and weird. No, he went over there to be romantic. Let's not take the beautiful moment out of this, all right? I'm just cheapening it with his stupid jokes. Disgust me. First problem is she didn't want to sit by the lake. I didn't want to eat by the water because there's bugs, she said with a laugh. He talked me into it, and after lunch he asked me if I wanted to do a crossword. I said, sure, I didn't think anything of it. I thought this was interesting, she said. I mean, to be honest, that accent wasn't Canadian or female, so I don't know why I'm trying it, but I'll keep. Oh, yeah, for you, I'll soldier on. I thought this was interesting, she said. It's the Saturday edition, he said. I figured there's always one with the cartoons, more comics and more games. Plus, I love doing crosswords, she said. Definitely not like that. Second problem, she got... I don't know why I'm doing it now. It's not even dialogue. Second problem, she got stumped on one word. And the clue was illegal. He thought this was funny because I'm a lawyer. Oh, it's funny because, you see. As she finished, she saw the secret phrase contain the words, will you marry me? Then she realised the first word was her name. Oh my God. I cried, she said. I never thought I would, but I did, and I covered my face. It was a lot of excitement and crying at the same time. My answer was... No. No, I'm only joking. It was, of course! Didn't want to... See? It's a roller coaster. Versio lives in Toronto, but is moving back to his home in Niagara soon. Sunday was the couple's first relaxing day together in weeks. I only had a couple of weeks left in my apartment, so we had been thinking, why not go back to Toronto Island? Don't even live together yet, then. That's what that sounds like to me. Never propose before you've lived with her. You don't even know what she does with a toothpaste. That'll be all over the shop. Your OCD will kick in. I'll give it 2 years. He picked a very specific spot to go, a spot we took a nice picture of a couple of years ago. He was very abundant about coming here. Should have said adamant. For someone that does crosswords, you should know that. He wasn't very abundant. If he was very abundant, there was loads of him. So I don't know why he married that one. You're illiterate. You deserve each other. This totally caught me by surprise. It got Frankie written all over it. I guess that's his name. And Aloe felt a sigh of relief. All the planning had paid off. The hardest part was casually nudging her towards the right answers. When she got stuck, I would pretend like I figured it out on my own. Learning there that you can blatantly bully someone into making a decision, and as long as you make it look like it was their decision, even though it was yours, then you'll succeed. Which means, actually, I take back my prediction on your wedding and your marriage, and you'll probably live a long and prosperous life, because that is the key to a relationship. Tell them what to do, make them think that they thought it. Absolute control. Little bit sociopathic, but everyone wins. Now, underneath the article on this, in the Toronto Star, wherever it was, actually, I think it was in the Sun, was how to propose, a handy guide. And I thought this might be good. So if you're thinking about proposing, so far, by the way, the texts have come in. my husband asked me and he didn't even turn off the television. And who said romance was dead? Beautiful. There's another one on Facebook here. We went horse riding in Mexico. There was a sunset and she asked me to propose. Nice twist. She had booked the trip. We had a romantic picnic afterwards, champagne, and then horizontal jogging. Well, he said, actually, he put it in a far ruder way. He painted a beautiful romantic picture, then he used an F-bomb. Comedic effect, I would imagine, but I can't repeat it on the radio. But they were, let's just say, they were passionately copulating, and why not? This message, sponsored by Newstalk 1010. How to propose a handy guide. So if you're thinking about it, here's a couple of tips for you. Have a choir, a brass band or a drum lineup that you've already booked. Ask them to show up for a surprise performance of your fiancé's, to be's, favourite love song in a park or a public location for your proposal. For a really personal touch, ask the performers if they can incorporate your fiancé's name into the lyrics. It should say at the end of this, don't ever mention that you read this here. Because it'll kill it. And if you're doing this, by the way, for God's sake, don't mention you heard it on the Vinnie White Show. Because years down the road, she'll go, do you remember that time the brass band rocked up and you asked me, where? You asked for them my hand in marriage. That beautiful way. Where'd you get the idea? Oh, I think it was a sarcastic British idiot taking the piss out of it on radio. Right. Get in touch with the stage manager of your favourite production and propose after the cast curtain call. Nice. Call ahead and see if you can have a special note or advert placement added to the playbill so you can have a keepsake of your proposal. Smooth. Arrange a surprise proposal with a street caricaturist. Have a caricaturist sketch a picture of you two with the word, will you marry me? And yes, coming out of your faces. Bit tacky. I'd like to hear from you on this, 416-872-1010. Mike, do you have a beautiful proposal story? Hello, Mike.
Hey, Vinny, it's caricature. That's the proper pronunciation.
What did I say?
You said something like laboratory, but I wasn't really listening.
Did I say caricature or caricature?
It's caricature. Okay. Anyways, Vinny, I got to tell you a quick story about a girlfriend situation that went bad.
Hit me.
Okay, so I was with this girl... And my mom bought some World Music Series CD that I didn't really want, so I pawned it off on her. Two of them ended up going to Chapters later on, where my mom bought the CD originally, and she found out, because my mom slipped it out, that she gave me that Gypsy World Music CD. Horrible, 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 horrible.
Oh, so what did she do? Have you taken to attacking your phone as you think of this story and reflect how painful it was?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Not really. I'll leave it there because he's breaking up. Breaking up, like, inevitably happens to many marriages. But not all. We have a beautiful romantic story in a moment. First of all, let's finish this tip for your proposals. And do call in. Apologies for the dodgy line. These things happen. Hire a skywriter to spell out your proposal for everyone around to see. Oh, for goodness sake. How much money do you think we've got? I know. I'll ask my mate John. He flies a plane and quite regularly just jets out smoke for no apparent reason. He's desperate for something to write. He's just been writing recently. That's going to cost, isn't it? See, romance for me is not working out so well. Ask a local movie theatre to run a special proposal trailer, then show up early for the previews. You can make the movie yourself. I've got one. Drink a bottle of wine each and then slur your love to your lady by reminding her how good she is in bed. And then show her how you love her by asking her to fold your socks. They love that. They love it. It got me thinking about proposals, and one of the most recent fads in this day where apparently we just cannot keep anything to ourselves, and if we're not permanently taking selfies or uploading pictures of ourselves with buckets of water over our head, we are quite regularly making videos, because the concept of asking someone to marry you, we couldn't just do it between the two of us. So I started looking online for all the various videos that people have made for each other. And some of them are mildly amusing. Most of them are gut-wrenchingly dissatisfying in every possible sense, whether you're in a relationship or not. You know, it's essentially like eating six bags of sugar while listening to Celine Dion. You know, it's just overload. No one's as soppy as some of these videos. For example, this one.
Shanna, 6 months ago to the day, I woke up to an unexpected Facebook message from a random yet beautiful girl who noticed that we attended the same church. I'm so thankful and beyond blessed that A, I responded, and that B, that beautiful girl was you.
After the first of many frozen yogurt dates, I realized almost instantly that you were the one that I wanted to spend my life with. As a couple weeks went by, I had you convinced that I'd friend-zoned you. However, I want to assure you, that was the last thing on my agenda. In these short but amazing 6 months of dating, I've learned so much about myself and how to truly love you like a gentleman should.
Pause it a second.
From putting up with my...
Alex, just pausing. I just want to explain why you can hear the laughter. I forgot to mention that. Not only has he made a video, uploaded it to YouTube. He then went out into the middle of a park in America, home of the soppiness, and said, I'd like you to watch this video, and I'm going to film you watching it. So that's why you can hear her laughing, all coyly, soppy sacks of soppiness.
From putting up with my every once in a while feistiness and sometimes even quirky behaviors, you know exactly what to say sometimes to calm me down and to make things better. Show me what unconditional love is. Between some of our spontaneous road trips, the concerts that we've attended, and also our infamous projecting, I continue to learn more and more about you each day. You push me to be a better person in every aspect of my life, and also you bring out my best qualities and traits.
Oh, God. Oh, I feel like someone's just put a spoon in my belly, just stirred it about. Not in a good way. If you're going through a divorce, why not listen to this for self-torture? I'm not going, by the way, I should clean up. I'm not going through a divorce. Everything's fine. You've got to go through a marriage before you can go through a divorce, I hear. Is there another part to it? Let's not bother with it. There is, actually, but I didn't get it ready. And do you know what? It's for the best. He starts doing a sort of lullaby that he's written with the guitar music over the top. Oh, God, it's bloody awful. There's people listening to this thinking, you've got no heart. I have! I just don't know why we've got to broadcast all this crap to the world. If you love someone, congratulations, genuinely. Happy days. Go to the florist, buy some flowers, do some chocolates, take a water skiing, have rampant sex with her in every possible position. But just keep it to yourself. It's all over the place. I don't even mind public displays of affection. That doesn't bother me, because when I'm with a young lady, or an old one for that matter, I like to have a smooch in public. I grew up in Europe. It's all right. I don't mind that. I just don't know why I have to plaster it all over the internet. Just get on with it. Do you want to get married? I really like you. Let's move in. We can have sex and that. There you go. Just record that and use it. Get over yourself. Speaking of which, romance. Is it alive? Just. The USA, we go to for this actually quite charming story, and I'm going to slightly change my format of being an old misery by telling you about this. The mysterious package arrived on a blustery day in February from a man Cynthia Riggs had not seen for 62 years. He wrote his return address in latitude and longitude. The contents baffled her. Pages of yellowed paper towels covered in penciled code. Then she remembered. In 1950, when Elizabeth was 18 years old, she was a college student and she landed a summer job sorting plankton at a marine geology lab in California. She befriended one of her colleagues, Howard Atrembury, a kind soul who stood out from the other young men and was more interested in teasing her or nailing shut her lab drawers. He was a comedy charmer. In gratitude, Cynthia wrote notes in simple code to Howie, who was 28. So again, she's 18, he's 28. Probably not entirely right. On a pile of paper towels that sat next to the microscope. Breezy thoughts about life, research, co-workers. One of the notes that she uncovered was a new one, and it said quite clearly, "I have never stopped loving you." She is now 80. She's been married once. She's raised 5 children. But she divorced her husband decades ago. Now, a man from the very distant past had declared his love. It is romantic, actually. After 62 years, I don't think we can call him a stalker. I'd say it's a bit too soft. Cynthia tracked down Howie's address and wrote a non-committal note thanking him for the package. And so the correspondence began. It started with letters, went into emails, and then they started sending photographs just some years ago. "I was delighted to see you've worn so well," so Cynthia wrote to him. Pervert. Not really. "You are splendid," Howie wrote, using her childhood nickname. "You will always be beautiful, never unbeautiful." Aww. Sinners. No, it's fine. He wrote to Cynthia that he'd always felt her presence. "I was surprised to find that I'd missed you no more and no less of these years have gone by." Took you a while to get hold of her. The romance went on and on through letter format until one day, very recently, well, in May 2012, Cynthia and Howie were yearning to see each other again. 62 years after they'd seen each other, Howie had some health problems which made travel difficult across the states, and they were living completely the other side of the United States. Cynthia's daughter lived in Southern California. She told Howie she might fly down and see them both in September. "Do you have room at your house for an overnight guest?" she asked. "Woohoo! Saucy!" "Yes, yes, 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 yes," he answered. Still, she worried that her now 81-year-old body would disappoint the man who had last seen her as a teenager. "I'm fully prepared when we meet for you to think, although you'll never express it, that this isn't the 18-year-old that I've held in my heart for 62 years," she wrote. "I've had all kinds of doubts about the physical me meeting the physical you after such a long time." Understandable. "Of course I remember the then Cynthia," he wrote back. "But is the now sinner you? I want you to be with me. You are the one," Harry reassured her. "Now is the person I love, not the shadow of the past." Saucy old romantic. Great language. That'll woo him every time. "But she sure set the stage for a beautiful introduction," he said. So he met her at the train station with a long-stemmed red rose and a sign bearing the code, their personal code, for hugs, kisses and passion. After all the build-up, their greeting was a bit awkward, it says here. It had to be. How could, 62 years later, I'm rocking up with a red rose and some code. Never going to work. But not for long. He drove her to a house overlooking a canyon, and within an hour, he asked to marry. She said yes, and they got married surrounded by family and friends this summer. They took a paddle wheeler down the Mississippi River last week to celebrate their honeymoon. Howie and Cynthia eat dinner every day by candlelight in the warm weather. Every lunch is on the porch. On a swing, on Valentine's Day, she found paper hearts scattered in the utensil drawer and around her house. One morning this summer, he wrote, "I love you," on the peel of her breakfast banana. And no doubt, she wrote something on his. It's a beautiful thing. I mock it somewhat, But love is still alive in all of its gorgeous manifestations, and I wish it on all of you. We come back after this break. Word to your mother. Vinnie White with you here through till 10 o'clock. Hope you're doing well. A little bit of housekeeping. I want to let you know I'm not going to be here next Sunday, which, by the way, is a long weekend next weekend. I'll be in my, where I used to live, Ottawa, Ottawa or Ottawa. Always turn the T's to D's, Ottawa, and for the weekend. So I won't see you next Sunday. But I, if you're really, like, beside yourself, crying, I mean, my condolences. But you know what? Good news is I'm going to cover Mike Bullard on this coming Friday. So, you know, nothing Sunday, but you can have it Friday instead. It's all right. You can download the podcast for this show at vinniewhite.co.uk, V-I-N-N-E-Y, White. And you can also subscribe in iTunes. And if you do, would you mind rating it? And when I say rating it, would you mind rating it well? Like, I thought that would go without saying, but better quantify it just to be on the safe side. 5 stars, no less. Nothing but the best here at the Vinnie White Podcast, available every week on iTunes. Old woman, alive, told she was dead. Yes, from my home country. Indeed, a United Kingdom resident in her 80s was told she had passed away. Yes, she was told that she had passed away in a letter from her pension provider. The blunder included a short message of condolence from an employee of Standard Life saying that Mrs. Fulton was dead. But Mrs. Fulton, who was reading it, although somewhat frail at 80, remains very much alive. The letter was sent to the 80-year-old's home last month and addressed to the executors of Mrs. B. Fulton. The pensioner was described as being extremely upset, but Standard Life, the pensions company, have since apologised for the mistake, blaming it on human error. You can imagine how shocked I was to receive the letter, said Mrs. Fulton. Fortunately, I still have my wits about me, and I dread to think what the consequences could have been for someone in a more fragile health than myself. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever died of finding out that they were dead. You don't cease to exist. When, like, if I say, Elliot, you're dead, you won't go, oh, you know what, I was going to carry on being a producer. It doesn't make sense. Fortunately, I still have my wits about me. Well, you sure do. But I dread to think what the consequences could have been for someone in more fragile health than myself. Weird thing to say. Standard Life explained that a routine pension payment failed and a staff member had incorrectly marked the reason for the payment as the fact that she was deceased. I don't know why. Colin, have you made that payment? Nah, just say she was dead. A spokesman said, we're very sorry about what happened. We reissued the pension payment immediately and sent her flowers as an apology. Look, if someone's half convinced they're dead, don't send them flowers. Don't do that. It's not the right message. see you in for Mike Bullard this coming Friday. It's got all sorts of quality programming as new Talk 1010 pushes on through the night. See ya.